This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph White.
Almighty God, the grace creator, Almighty God, our loving Savior. His words of love that have been spoken, these truths at once shall not be broken. Strength for today.
This Sunday, we take a further sojourn into history, joining King David as he endeavors to mold 12 tribes into a nation. Sharon reads from 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter, and Dr. Wyatt relates the importance of putting God first.
Thank you, Dennis. This, I believe, is a special program because I believe the subject is important. I do hope you will stay with us.
It was told to King David, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom because of the Ark of God." So David went to bring the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David. When those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and a fatling. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. And all the house of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. As the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. They brought the Ark of the Lord and set it inside the tent, which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished with all the offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts, and distributed among the whole multitude of Israel, each bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. When David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants and maids, as one of the shameless fellows." And David said, "It was before the Lord, who chose me above your father and above his house, to appoint me as prince over Israel. And I will make merry before the Lord. I will be more contemptible than this in your eyes. But by the maids of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor."
Thank you, Sharon, very much. For a real change of pace, I have had Sharon read a passage from 2 Samuel concerning one of the great figures in history, David, son of Jesse. Here we find him after being called out by the prophet Samuel and anointed king of Israel. David was but a lad and a long way then from achieving what God had called him to, even anointed him for. He will in time slay the massive Philistine champion Goliath, join King Saul's entourage, displaying an amazing ability on the battlefield, hailed as a hero by the populace. But when his singing can no longer soothe the mental aberrations of Saul, David will flee, becoming in time a mercenary for, of all people, the Philistines. But now with Saul's death by the hands of these Philistines, he will be embraced first by his own tribe of Judah as their chief. Then he will defeat the Philistines twice. His leadership will be then embraced by all the tribes as king, and he makes a covenant with the whole of Israel. David, in preparation for this new united kingship, will seize the Jebusite town of Jerusalem. And here we pick up the passage that Sharon has read, of David and the people bringing the Ark of the Covenant into what is now called the City of David, what was once a Jebusite citadel in the midst of Israel. This tells us much of what kind of king David will make, his style of leadership, desire, his approach to God, and also some of his weaknesses. Here we also can ascertain his political acumen. He has captured a fortified city, which lies between the lands of Judah and that of Benjamin. And of course, this was the tribe of the previous king, Saul. The city of Jerusalem at this time has no connection with either the southern tribes of Judah and Simeon, nor the northern tribes. It is then more or less a neutral site where David will now establish his capital. And here, as we have said, it is distinctively called the City of David. It is his city. Of course, it is not a city as we would recognize one today, but more a fortified village on an outcropping, in this case surrounded by deep valleys, which over the centuries have been filled in. David, we are told, builds the city around about from the Milo inward. Milo means the filling, which would have been an area probably where the outcropping had been filled in to complete the fortified walls. It was a good move, and an even better move would be to bring the Ark of the Covenant that had been captured by these Philistines earlier at Ebenezer, when Israel was defeated even after the Ark had been brought from Shiloh and had led the armies of Israel into battle. Yet still they were routed, because God's hand was against Israel at this time, and the sons of Eli, the high priest, who carried the Ark, are killed. So much for the present myths. The Ark, however, was a problem for the Philistines, and is a great story in itself, found in 1 Samuel, the 6th chapter. It was brought ultimately to the house of Abinadab, where it remained for 20 years. David would bring it to his city, establishing it as more than a military capital, but now a religious center, more the city of the Lord God. But the first effort fails as Uzziah reaches out to study the Ark and is struck dead. David, you see, had not sought out the proper means of transporting the Ark, but had just used the Philistine mode, a cart. But that was God's doing to deliver the Ark of the Covenant from the pagans. Now among God's people, his holiness, proper respect must be displayed. David's anger will show, both against himself and a little bit towards God, because, as he says, he cannot bring the Ark to himself. There was much at stake, and now it must be put on hold. Everything, all his plans are delayed. His role in building a nation, rather than leading a collection of fragmented tribes, may not happen. David was well aware of what he was trying to do, acquiring the capital to center its life, acquiring the Ark so that the nation would center its life in the worship of Yahweh. And believe me, it is still a requirement for a sound and healthy nation to be centered in the worship of the Lord God, not in some other object or even person that is adored, or as it is more presently known, idolizing anything and everything but God. The Ark was left at the nearest home, that of Obed-Edom, and it did not take long for David to realize God was not angry, for Obed-Edom's home was blessed, and it was apparent in just 3 months. So once more, David gathers the people to bring the Ark into the city. Only this time, it is carried by poles and will not be touched. God's holiness is that important. And as they begin to move it, and nothing happens, with just 6 paces, they celebrate by sacrificing an ox and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord, as it is described, with all his might. David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. We are also told that he was girded with a linen ephod. An ephod was actually a priestly garment, and it is likely that David is in many ways exercising not just a royal role, but is doing so with priestly overtones. For later, before the booth that he has erected to house the ark of the Lord, it is David that blesses the people, no priest or prophet. The validity of David's worship is underscored by the depth of his preparation and his genuine rejoicing with the people. This does mean something, for if it can be such a blessing to Obed-Edom in a mere 3 months, what will it do for the city of David? Saul's daughter, David's wife, however, looks out a window and sees David dancing, and significantly, Scripture relates that she despised him in her heart. This is not merely about their marital relationship. It is basically the contrast between the manner of ruling, the difference in Saul and David's kingship, as seen primarily here in the king's relationship to Yahweh, the Lord God. The ark will be placed in the tent or booth, as Joel the prophet will so fondly remember this time. And it is David that offers the sacrifices that have begun and now end the ark's journey. The sacrifices are both burnt offerings, that is, where the whole offering is consumed in the fire, which has always been associated with atonement, that necessary sacrifice for the sins of the people, a sacrifice totally devoted to God, that all is given to God that sin might be atoned for. It is all laid before God that he might have mercy. And then peace offerings, where portions of the sacrifice is distributed to all the people, that they as well are seen as partaking in what is being offered to God. As a peace offering, it is that his peace may be ours. And remember that peace in Hebrew is that word shalom, which means so much more than simply peace. It is our wholeness, well-being, the people's healing, and it speaks of far more than physical healing, but the salvation of the people. Here David closes by blessing the people in the name of Yahweh of hosts. Clearly, David is acting in a priestly role and as king. This, as Jerusalem, does have a striking resemblance to the unusual meeting of Abraham with Melchizedek, king of Salem and high priest of the Lord God Almighty, a type of Christ, just as David is a type of Christ or the Messiah as well. As priest and king, the entire celebration is typical of an enthronement, not of David's, but of the Lord God's enthronement as the true ruler of Israel, now ensconced in the new capital, the new fortress, from which now the worship of God will center. It may be merely a booth to house the ark of the Lord, but it will become the center. The tabernacle still exists, perhaps still making its rounds from Gilgal to Bethel to Shiloh. And indications are that the tabernacle will exist for many years, separate, even after Solomon's temple is erected. But it is the ark of the Lord that becomes the center of the worship of God. It is here that God will mightily bless David and his enterprises, the destruction of the Philistines and the expansion of the kingdom north, south, and east. David's instincts were correct. A neutral site, blessed by the presence of God, with the ark's disappearance with the Babylonian conquest and the capture of the same city, Jerusalem, and the ark was not taken by the Babylonians, but does disappear from history. And no wonder that Jewish theology perceived that, despite the return of many to Judah and the end of their Babylonian captivity, the exile simply had not ended. God's presence, the mercy seat that sat upon the top of the ark, the symbolic residence of the very presence of God, was still in exile. It is not until the ministry of Jesus, the one true sacrifice, the one true peace offering that fulfills all the requirements, and with the vindication of that sacrifice as the Christ was raised from the dead, the Lord God has then returned. And with the outpouring of the Spirit, the Shekinah glory is now present once more with God's people. That is what we mean by all things are fulfilled in David's true Son, Jesus the Christ. That is why I believe David's sharp criticism of his wife, the daughter of Saul, why his manner is so definite and unmerciful. David has returned from the installation of the Ark of the Lord in his booth upon the mountain just north of the city of Jerusalem. He has been rejoicing in God's presence at this symbolic, and he may feel more than symbolic, for the Ark's presence had tangibly blessed Obed-Edom's house. It will surely bless Jerusalem, and David has every right to expect that this means the blessing of this kingdom, the kingdom that God has blessed him with as its shepherd. It is, in David's words, God's choice, his anointing as prince over Israel, and that is a choice over her father, Saul. David understands that the kingdom belongs to God, and he is his servant. The blessing of God is therefore vital. David may let it slip from his mind and grievously sin at times, but he recognizes the truth of his failings when told. David is flawed, as we all are, but he does want God at all costs. This was a momentous day, and when Michal tersely accuses him of unseemly behavior, not acting regal enough, that he needs to be more kingly, she has missed the whole point. God is to be celebrated, enjoyed. It is Yahweh who bestows all the blessings, all that is of true worth and value. And in David's true son, the flaws are no more. We see God's presence a reality for each of us, and the necessity to praise him. Our lives, all that we hope for and desire, all we want to achieve, is nothing if it does not enrich our life in God. In the end, if our life does not point to our Lord and Savior, what is it really worth? Oh, let us rejoice before the Lord. Oh, my Lord, if we take nothing from this, let us understand that our lives are to be centered in Him. We are to rejoice in Him. And everything that is of worth and value in our lives is to point to Him. Our lives are to be a beacon, a light unto His glory in us, that Shekinah, that Holy Spirit that abides with us. For this is to be our existence when His kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, all for the glory of the Lord God Almighty and David's true Son, Jesus. Amen and amen.
The story of David as king, attempting to build a real nation, in doing so with the Lord God as central, is critical for our own lives as well. We often have to be reminded of this as we become so busy with other things. We need to realize that God is in these other things as well. He would enrich our lives, guide, and bless us richly if we would only put Him first. It is with this in mind that we are offering this week Dr. Wyatt's study titled, Who is God? This is a scriptural study of what God has revealed of Himself and what that means for all of us. You will want a copy of this informative study, so do write and ask for Who is God? It can be yours at no charge. Well, dear ones, thank you just doesn't seem to be enough to say to those of you who have become beloved parts of this ministry with your gracious prayers and marvelous support. You are such a blessing to us in so many ways, and we rejoice that you are a part of this work with us for our wonderful Lord. We depend on your love offerings, for it makes this radio ministry possible, and God bless you for all your generosity. Doing what we can together will make this world a much better place. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia. Postal code V6J4N1. Or you can contact us on the internet at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. Again, I would express my gratitude for all who write us. And as we pray one for another, and Andrew of the Bronx reports his back and leg pain is gone, and thanks God for undertaking. Now, as we close another broadcast, Dennis will provide our addresses once more. And Rick Wickham comes with a new rendering of the song, Great Things He Has Done. So until next week, do know that our God is in control.
Come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at His feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awakened to life. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write, and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and Dr. Wyatt is offering at this time a copy of his book, Who is God? This is a scriptural look at what Scripture has revealed of God and what we can then know of His nature, character, and purpose for us. This is the obvious culminations of Dr. Wyatt's Primer Series and is a study that all can profit from. So do write and ask for Who is God? It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at this same time. And remember what God has promised to those that love Him.